Thank you for the introduction, Chris. Right. I greatly appreciate it.
Very welcome.
Good afternoon. How was lunch? Washington is about lunch. Well, it's a pleasure to be with you here today to discuss a subject that should have been discussed many years ago, honestly. We're talking about the next generation of broadband internet for rural America. But before we get into the nifty stuff, I want to talk about disclosures. I have no conflicts. I'm sorry. I have no conflicts to disclose at all. And neither does my co-author. Well, I'm going to repeat this several times, but the next generation broadband internet is absolutely essential if we're ever going to narrow the gap, the disparity between rural Americans, what they receive in health care and access to health care, and what urban Americans receive in this country. This is not a mystery. The Institute of Medicine in 2008 stated very clearly that health care in rural America is poor. That's a polite way of saying it. They don't have core health care services. To solve this, they suggested integrated health care. Great idea, integrated health care. Integrated health care, by definition, means you have to engage people. You have to communicate. To communicate, you got to be able to connect to someone. This is not very technical. You have to be able to connect to them. Well, that is an issue in rural America, because in rural America, there is little or no connectivity. In the United States of America, in fact, there are seven zones in this country where they're literally dead zones. And by the FCC's own measurements, 28% of rural Americans, of the 50 million or so rural Americans, don't have access to 3 megabytes download, 768 kilobytes. I've hardly used the word kilobytes in years. Kilobytes upload. That is the benchmark that they're using. Now, that benchmark is probably less than most of you have on your phones here in Washington, D.C. So you can't do much engaging of physicians and hospitals and patients and transfer records if you can't connect. And there's very few physicians that I know personally that will trust a CT scan that's been transmitted over a line that is 3 megabytes download, 768, nor would they have the time to wait for the files to come up. So integrated healthcare is a great idea, but in rural America it's a very difficult idea. That's why I said this presentation should have been given years ago, because integrated health care is the cornerstone of the Affordable Care Act. We've all heard about accountable care organizations. We've all heard about medical homes and health homes. Well, all those involve people communicating with each other. You can't communicate, you can't integrate health care. Let me give you the dimension of this problem. Very few people realize that rural America, they think rural, they think small, you know, small. Not true. 75% of the landmass of the United States of America is in rural America. You look at this chart, the white areas mean very low density. Minnesota's probably in there, I'm sorry. And it's probably very low density. But the light blue areas are also low density. So you have 50 million people approximately in 75% of the landmass of the U.S. Those 50 million people are about 16% of the population. Now, something about that math just doesn't work real well. What I'm talking about is you have to use the next generation of broadband internet. That is an internet that can connect with real-time transmission of very large and rich media files. In the UK, where I studied, you say next generation internet, they talk about copper versus fiber optics. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the ability to send rich and large media files, CT scans, over the internet quickly in a real-time basis so the physician doesn't retire before he receives the file. So essentially, you have to shrink, and that's the topic. You have to shrink America. You have to take the 25% that are hanging on the West Coast and the other folks that are hanging on the East Coast, and you got to bring them together. You literally have to connect them. Let's drill down in some demographics. Very quickly, I mentioned earlier, 50 million people. Well, if you read this about this subject, you're going to see all kinds of numbers. You're going to see numbers of 70 million, 48 million. You're going to see all kinds of numbers. This is the number from the U.S. Department of Agriculture. It's a reasonable definition. I'm going to use it. It's 16% of the population. Again, the landmass, very few people argue about the landmass. 75% of the landmass of this country. It's breathtaking. So we have a situation where we have only 10%, though, of the physicians in the United States that are practicing in rural America. And they are working hard, trust me, real hard. Because that's deceptive. There's 10% of the physicians, but there's dramatic shortages of medical specialists. Dramatic shortages. So your coverage ratio is about 1.8 on average, but that's a little bit overstated. But in urban America, it's 3. So how do you connect them? Well, the next generation broadband internet. Well, the FCC and the National Broadband Plan used a low benchmark of 3 down and 768 kilobytes up. And even with that low benchmark, going down to that low benchmark, 28% of rural America couldn't even meet that. Could not meet it. So you have more connectivity in your homes than they have in many parts of rural America. And this gives you a little bit overview of the different, you know, the degrees of disparity. Well, let's talk about racial and ethnic groups. And this is a analysis done by the Carsey Institute, part of the University of New Hampshire. And if you notice, 16% of rural America is actually Black, American, Indian, and Hispanic people. And the Carsey Institute, when I talked to them, this is some of the most vulnerable citizens in our country. For instance, in the Black population, that is concentrated in a few deep southern states. And it's among the most difficult to count for census purposes, according to the Carsey Institute. So this number probably is understated. Well, this hasn't changed for years. You're talking to someone who does travel to hospitals in rural America. Long travel distances. I'm not talking a metro ride here. I'm talking getting in your car and traveling for hours. There could be 100 miles between one Soul Community Hospital in the U.S. and another. By definition, a Soul Community Hospital, and there are over 400 of them in the U.S., has to be 35 miles from the next community hospital, by definition. And in the winter, that 35 miles might as well be, you know, forever. But clinicians in this underserved market area are working very, very hard, because they're seeing a broad array of patients. There's a shortage of medical specialists. They're the most tired group of physicians I know. And there's a critical need for information communications technology, but it isn't there. It isn't there. And what this doesn't tell you is that rural America also has a very high percentage of elderly, poor, and disabled. And I can tell you, those folks cannot get into their limos and drive to MD Anderson if they have cancer. The only way they're going to get care is at the local hospital. If there's not an oncologist, that means that primary physician is doing the job. Because when you're sick, the last thing in the world you need to do is get in your car and drive 100 miles in the winter. Well, this repeats what I've already said. The Institute of Medicine, very fine group, and very fine organization, and they agreed on this disclosure that they felt that the level of health care in rural America is poor. It's not what it should be. It's a polite way of saying it. And there's a lack of access to core health care services. But the market has failed. The market has failed miserably. And I'm a free market person, economically speaking, I will tell you. But this is a case that someone should have been here years ago telling you that there is no connectivity out there. The U.S. Telecommunication Act was passed in 1996. It has been a roaring failure. Today, there's only four providers have over 60% of the broadband market. There's been a wave of mergers. And as a result, in rural America, you only have a choice of maybe one or two providers. And so they just price everybody out of the market. So what do you do when the market's failed? Well, you know, if you agree on all this, I could just add that, you know, the market has failed here. It's failed miserably. And there are tremendous benefits to next-generation broadband internet. I mean, I was just reading one at the Kent State University where they've developed a technique for identifying pathogens in food using smart technology and communicating them on the spot to a remote location. But there are rural patient benefits, there are population benefits, and there are healthcare provider benefits. And, you know, but the problem comes back to size of files. Today we have great strides in this field, but the files are large. This gives you some ideas of the file sizes. But if you're talking a pathology study, you're talking a file size of 25,000 megabytes. And what does that take? In order to transmit these files, that was the size of the individual files. Remember, I said that no physician wants to sit there and spend his day waiting for a download. Right. So what you have is, according to the FCC, for a single physician office, you need connectivity of a minimum of 4 megabits. A minimum. And for a community hospital of 188 beds, you need 100 megabits. To communicate all the different files I showed earlier. In an academic hospital, you need a gigabyte. What about policy? Well, there's been a great policy. Rural health care policy, been in effect 12 years, $400 million allocation, and truthfully, in 12 years, they haven't dispersed $400 million. They've had an annual allocation of $400 million for 12 years. And have not dispersed $400 million. In fact, it's barely over $300. The National Broadband Plan is well prepared. Excellent document. Makes a lot of sense. They spent $7.2 billion under the Recovery Act, and they didn't make a dent. Okay? But this is a market failure. And in the past, market failures have been met with national initiatives. National initiatives. Not give you two examples. Electricity. We all take it for granted. Rural America didn't even have electricity at the beginning of the 20th century. It didn't exist because the folks in Congress said it wouldn't be profitable. Well, let me tell you, if you've seen the financial statements of the TVA, it's very profitable. The highway system by Dwight David Eisenhower. Constructed the highway system in 1956. And this is what this illustrates. The highway system, when I can recall, you got on an interstate highway, and then you got off on a one-lane road, and you got behind a school bus or a truck or some tractor for the next 2 hours. This was real. This happened. Well, this is what's going on with broadband. Exactly. You can't build this state by state. This is a national initiative. But if we don't do it, these folks are going to get passed by, just like the people were passed by the interstates. And you get passed by on an interstate, you die and wither. So the two numbers that I want to focus you on is that we estimated that between $34 billion and $277 billion, depending on which year, was spent on the interstate highway system. And in conclusion, I will just tell you that this is a fixable issue. We can shrink America. We can correct the market failure. America has a long history. When the market fails, national goals are achieved with national initiatives. We've done it many times in the past. And the federal government needs to assume more responsibility.
Great. Thank you so much. Okay.